Blog Talk Radio.
I'm looking for a reason, roaming through the night to find my place in this world, my place in this world.
Welcome to Wake Up to Purpose with your host, John Stanko. This program will help you find your purpose and, more importantly, how to make your purpose work for you. And now, here's John Stanko.
Well, hello out there in Internet Radio Land. This is John Stanko, your host for Wake Up to Purpose. It is Friday when we are talking and recording, but I don't know when you're going to listen, if you're not listening live. But whenever you listen, I know you are going to be informed and challenged and blessed. I have my friend Doug Smith, who will be coming on the show in a little bit. He's the host of the L3 Leadership Podcast and has written a book, and is just a dynamic young leader who is hungry to learn more and do more and be more. And I just always am challenged when I'm around him and blessed. And I know you will be too. So Doug is waiting in the wings, and he's here, and he's ready to chat with us. And I know the time is going to go very quickly. So this is a very important weekend for me. This is my birthday weekend, and on Sunday I turn the big 70. So 70 is the new 50, though. So I feel good and trusting the Lord for many more days and years. But as I have been writing and blogging and broadcasting, that all that's in God's hands, and that's why I need to make the most of every day, and so do you. And so what I've been doing through this show and what I've been doing online through social media is trying to provide a very strong voice to challenge you to make the most of today, be who it is that you are, address your fear, and you do have the fear. I have it. We all have it. It disguises itself. It hides. It comes across as very rational and reasonable, but it's fear nonetheless. And so, that's my message during this season and during this time. And I know I'm stirring up some people to think and talk. And certainly not everybody's going to agree. And that's okay. In social media, it's you need to create some dialogues, and that's also what I'm trying to do. But this is big birthday weekend. Unfortunately, I'll have to connect with my grandchildren by Skype, and I'll tell you, the day any of the lockdown ends, I'll be in the car and I'll be heading to Virginia to see the children. And of course, this week we had a big event in our family. We had a Zoom wedding. And so our son got married down in San Antonio, Texas, to a delightful young lady from Kenya who we love very much. And so it's been a big week, birthdays and weddings, but at the same time, still a very sobering time. We know that there's a lot of pain, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of loss. And we don't know. I've been saying since the beginning of this is going to be a while, and I'm not addressing it from a medical point of view. I just feel like God is doing something in this season, and I can't address all that's happening. I'm not that smart or that spiritual. I can barely address what's happening in my own life, but I do think that one of the posts that I made, I think last week or 10 days ago, said, God has hit the pause button, and soon he's going to hit reboot. And when he reboots, all the system is going to upgrade. All the files are going to be upgraded. There's going to be new software. Our operating system is going to have to be different than it was previously. And so I'm not so concerned about somebody telling me how to get through this time. I want to listen for voices that are telling me how to prepare in this time for the time that is coming. I'm looking for the Joseph voices in our generation who can interpret the dreams, the symbols of Pharaoh, and be able to say, this is what we need to do. as Wayne Gretzky's father said, we need to be skating not to where the puck is, but where the puck is going to be. And that was the key, he said, to Wayne Gretzky's success in ice hockey. And I want to be skating to where the puck is going to be. It's so fascinating to me that God has sent us home and he's taken everything away except social media. In some countries he's taken food away, but still they're connecting online. And we have gas in our cars and we have no place to go because there's something that God wants us to do and face. And I've used the metaphor of spiritual orthodontics, that God is putting some braces in place with our thinking and our habits and our routines and putting new things in place. And that's painful. And it puts pressure, just like braces on teeth. It's putting pressure on certain places to get them to move to other places. And once braces are taken off, we need to have a retainer and to keep the things in place that God has moved. Anyway, that's just some summary of what I've been thinking and saying. And I've got on Facebook, I've got a fundraiser going, and the title of the fundraiser is I want underwear for my birthday. And I explain it's not really for me. It's the raising money for the orphans and our work in Kenya. And underwear is a part of what we do for them, and the monthly sanitary products for the young ladies. But it's also food, and it's also clothing. And so, but I want underwear for my 70th birthday. And so could you help me? And if you can, you can go to Facebook and look for the fundraiser on my page. And $3, $5 would feed an orphan for a week. And I know there are many needs out there, so I'm not pressuring, I'm not promising anything, just making it available if the Lord would lead you in that direction. Also, I announced today I have a ministry app, a Purpose Quest International ministry app. And now some of you may say the last thing we want is to get John Stenko any closer to us because he's putting stuff out there all the time. He's going to drive us crazy. But if that would be of interest to you, Purpose Quest International, it's available on all platforms, all my videos. Give you quick access to these blog radio shows that are archived, my Monday memo, my Purpose Study Bible. It's all there. And also a giving aspect that will simplify and streamline the process of contributing to my ministry. And when you go in, if you do contribute through the app, there are all kinds of choices of where you want the money to go. But Purpose Quest International, it's on all platforms, Amazon and Google Play and iPhone. So come one, come all, let's stay connected, and I'll be right at your fingertips, which again may be the very last thing you want to see happen. Before we bring Doug on, I want to stay true to our format where we have started every show, every Facebook Live, reading Psalm 91. And we've used a different version every time we have done this over the last 4 or 5 weeks, and we haven't run out of translations or versions yet. I get them all off of BibleGateway.com, which is what I use all the time. And today what I'm going to read is the Complete Jewish Bible, CJB. And so let's, no heading, as some of the other translations have, but starting in verse 1, "You who live in the shelter of Elyon, who spend your nights in the shadow of Shaddai, who say to Adonai, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He will rescue you from the trap of the hunter and from the plague of calamities. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His truth is a shield and protection. You will not fear the terrors of night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the plague that roams in the dark, or the scourge that wreaks havoc at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. Only keep your eyes open, and you will see how the wicked are punished. For you have made Adonai, the Most High, who is my refuge, your dwelling place. No disaster will happen to you. No calamity will come near your tent. For he will order his angels to care for you and guard you wherever you go. They will carry you in their hands so that you won't trip on a stone. You will tread down lions and snakes, young lions and serpents you will trample underfoot. Because he loves me, I will rescue him. Because he knows my name, I will protect him. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him when he is in trouble. I will extricate him and bring him honor. I will satisfy him with long life and show him my salvation. As I have been saying, this is not a rabbit's foot. This is not, okay, we've read this, so nothing bad will happen. No, these are statements of affirmation of our trust in the Lord. And I've been very clear. I trust the Lord for health. If I get sick, I trust him for healing. If healing doesn't come, then I trust him for salvation. But all of it is speaking to the fact that I and we put our trust in him. And these are not idle promises that we're reading as third-party observers now. These are things that we are consuming and we are standing on in this day and in this hour. Anyway, enough of me. We want to bring on our guest today. And so let's bring on Doug Smith. Doug, welcome to Wake Up to Purpose. It's good to have you as a guest.
John, it's an absolute honor. Happy birthday to you. And congratulations on the wedding as well.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a big week, and in the ministry app today, I mean, well, we're it's just been a high week, you know, and I'm grateful to the Lord, and certainly grateful to him for so many wonderful connections, and you are a part of that, and I see you online, and I see all these people you interview, and I'm jealous, and you do a great job, and so thanks for all you're doing, and what you're contributing to the discussion and the understanding of leadership. But as we get started, would you mind telling our listeners what ministry you're involved in, what your role is, and then I would love to hear, as much as you know, how is your ministry, which works with the homeless, what are you doing now? How has this pandemic impacted your world, and what are you doing to assist those who are a part of your constituency?
Sure. So I work at Light of Life Rescue Mission here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and we are a nonprofit that serves the homeless men, women, and children of Pittsburgh. And we do that by utilizing everything from street outreach, where we have a street outreach team go out to the street homeless in camps. We have an overnight shelter. We have chapel services. We have a meal ministry that serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day. We have long-term recovery programs as well. And so we do a lot. And when all of this started, we got a leadership team together very quickly. And we said, hey, we are an essential service. If we're not here, there's going to be people that go without food and shelter. And so we will do whatever is necessary to serve the people who come to us in need. And we developed a task force that has met almost daily. Now we're down to a little where every other day now that we've laid a solid foundation. But we continue all of our services. We continue to serve meals daily and provide shelter. Now, that's required us to adapt a lot to CDC guidelines and things mandated by the state and the city, so we had to expand our dinner service times to make sure that our guests could be a social distance apart from each other. We had actually set up three different feeding stations and so much more. And so, yeah, it's been a lot, but a month in, we're still serving and still making a difference, and I'm really proud of our team for doing that.
Yeah, and you guys are really the premier homeless ministry in the area. Again, what is your role in a normal situation? And then tell me about this leadership team that's been convening. How have you met, and how are the dynamics working on the team? Seems like you adapted and adjusted really well. But talk to us about your role, and then about the team.
Sure. Yeah, I'm the director of development, so I'm responsible for all of the fundraising for the organization. When all of this started, our leadership team got together, and we basically said, hey, we need more than just the directors in the room for this. Who are the players that we need on the team? From what areas? And we made a list of those people, and so that included, representatives from our program, certainly HR, the volunteer coordination, communications. We just wanted to make sure every department was represented, and we just started meeting daily, and basically our agenda is very, very simple. We basically say, hey, what are the updates and what's happened in the last 24 hours, and what are the ramifications of that? How do we need to adjust? Putting contingency plans in place. As a nonprofit, we really don't know how this is going to impact us financially, or, and I should say, you know, we're getting a better and better idea of what that looks like. But on the front end of this, right. you know, it was like, hey, what if we take a 25% hit on our budget, or a 10% hit? What does that look like? And so we had to put a plan in place for that. And yeah, it's just been consistently meeting and adapting, but the team has really excelled, and it's just been great.
Yeah, give our listeners an idea of the scope of Light of Life. I mean, what are we talking about with numbers and facilities and budgets? And this is no small operation, is it?
No, yeah. So we, from a fundraising standpoint, we're an $8 million organization, so that's what we're responsible for financially. Scope-wise, we have around 70 staff. And on an average night, we'll house between 125 and 160 people. And that's men, women, and children. And so, again, that's our emergency shelter all the way up to long-term programming. We actually have apartments that we rent throughout the city that have women and children living in them for our long-term programming. And we also have a donation center and a food pantry. And so through that, I mean, we literally provide hundreds of thousands of meals through that, and clothing items, hygiene kits, anything you can think of. And so we on average serve around 4,000 individuals a year throughout all of our programs. So that's a little bit about our scope.
Yeah, and so you're not just and I don't mean to diminish the importance of that, but you're not just providing a meal and a place to stay for somebody to get off the street at night. You are really trying to address, as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, the root cause or some of the dynamics that have led to homelessness. So the goal is that people can be on their own and self-sufficient. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So first and foremost, we're a faith-based organization. So we say it all the time, but we truly do believe that Christ is the answer. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be a Christian to come in and serve there or be served there. We will serve anyone who comes to us in need. But first and foremost, we want to introduce people to Christ. And so we have daily chapel services where the gospel is shared. But then, yeah, once we get them in the door, once we start building relationship, we really want to deal with the heart issues that got them to where they are. And, you know, most of the men and women coming to us, they've been to all the rehabs. They've burned every bridge in their life. It's usually rock bottom. And so to be able to come in there and try to embed Christ in their heart, to fill in those gaps, to make them whole is our first priority. And once we feel like they really got a handle on that, that's when we move them into the more tactical, practical things that you would think of, education and employment. So we have an entire staff devoted to helping people, whether it's learning to read and get their GED or just helping someone get a job because, you know, due to the decisions in their past, they may have a hard time with their background. And so once that happens, we have two graduation ceremonies every year. And we want everyone who graduates our program to have the education they need, to have housing, to have sustainable living income that they can provide, and a community that they can connect with. Our executive director always says that the opposite of addiction isn't sobriety, it's community. And so community is very important for us. And we're grateful to be able to provide community while they're with us at the mission. However, we realize if they don't build a healthy community outside through church, through community groups, they're likely going to end up in the same situation that they were in. And so that's a huge part for us.
Yeah. Now, are you involved in any kind of testing for the virus, or have you had any encounters with it? You know, because some of the folks I'm sure coming have, you know, had some social contact with people around town. Anything taken? I know you said social distancing, but testing or anything like that?
Yeah, this has been huge, and we've been preparing for this. We're actually calling it, so far, and again, it's not means this won't happen, but we're calling it the Pittsburgh Miracle. The homeless are an at-risk population for COVID-19, and so we're very aware that they're high risk. We have not had a case in the mission or with a shelter guest or client. Now, that being said, we put, you know, all these precautions in place. The city has actually opened up a few places that if anyone was at risk, we were able to send them there, and so we did send some of our clients to other locations. We are monitoring temperatures, and we have procedures in place if someone needs isolated. There are testing sites around the city, So if someone was impacted or was feeling symptoms, there's drive-by testing sites that we, our street outreach team, and really our whole staff has the capability to take people to. So we are prepared. Our staff's prepared, and really our staff and volunteers and clients and everyone, they're putting their, you know, their lives on the line every day. But the beautiful thing about the body of Christ is, you know, one thing we do as a leadership team to make sure our people are doing okay is we always ask people in every meeting we have, how are you doing on a scale of 1 to 10 and why? And that just allows us to see how they're doing. But if, you know, if they're not doing well, they're a 5, then that allows us to pray for them and be there for them. But what's fascinating, and you'll love this on the purpose side, everyone that's on site at the mission, our program staff, every day they're a 9 or a 10, and they are living their purpose in this time. They were born for this, and to see them come alive, serve the way they're serving, is so fulfilling for me, and it just makes my heart come alive and excited.
Yeah. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Doug Smith. He wears a lot of hats. He's the Director of Development of Light of Life Rescue Mission here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He's an author, and he's a dad and a husband, and he's the founder and CEO of L3 Leadership. And he can be found or be, getting heard at DougSmithLive.com. And we'll talk more a little bit about that later. Doug, how did you get involved in the mission? Tell us a little bit about your journey and professionally or any other connection you may have had and that led you to this really critical position that you have now of directing the development at Light of Life.
Man, I could talk forever about this. It's a crazy journey. You know, you talk about people finding their purpose. When I was in my 20s, I was in youth ministry at a church, and I actually thought, hey, I'll be a youth pastor and then a pastor. Like, that is God's plan for me. And my pastor would always tell us, you know, Doug, never put a period where God puts a comma. And and I was invited by a mentor of mine. He was planning a church, and he said, Doug, you know, would you and your wife pray about coming with us? And we did, and actually I was going through a very tough season. Where I would look back and say the grace was lifting, but it was 2 years I did not enjoy at all. And so I was out on staff at a big church. I leave the big church, and I'm on staff at this church plant. They can't pay me, and so they said, you either have to raise your own salary or get a job. And and to be honest with you, at that point I had an identity crisis because I'm like, what am I doing? I realized that all my identity was wrapped up in the fact that I worked at a big church. And that was definitely not solid ground. And so I end up randomly, this door opens at Light of Life Rescue Mission. And I knew a woman that worked there. And she said, Doug, the volunteer coordinator position just opened up. I know you're not looking for something long term, but just come on staff for us for a year until the church can pay you. So I said, okay. Got involved with the organization, fell in love with it, and really felt like at the end of 1 year, I really felt like God was leading me to stay there. I fell in love with the homeless ministry, the North Side. So I decided to transition from the church plant. And shortly after that, my sister, you know, I haven't shared my story, but in high school, I was a drug dealer and the drugs and alcohol, never thought I would amount to anything. In my senior year of high school, my mom passed away and Christ came into my life and changed everything. But I have a younger sister who I used to get high with. And unfortunately, when my life turned as a result of Christ, she just kept going down the same path. Well, fast forward to this moment at Light of Life. I'm a year into my career there, and my sister comes to me. She's 5 months pregnant with my nephew, and she starts crying. She said, Doug, I need help. And I said, well, what do you mean you need help? And she said, I'm a heroin addict. And I had, you know, I had done drugs. I had never gotten into that, and I had no idea what to do. And so I actually reached out to our program director, Sherry Roarson, and literally for 9 years, she walked me, my sister, and my entire family through my sister's addiction. My sister became homeless twice throughout those 9 years. She ended up in our program at Light of Life. Actually had an amazing 17-month stint where she was clean, rededicated her life to Christ, was doing really well. Unfortunately, relapsed during that season. And fast forward, unfortunately, we just lost my sister this past December to an overdose. But the hope is I know she knows Christ. And so I find great joy in that. But I share that because if you would have told me that I would ever know someone that had to use the services of a homeless rescue mission, I would have laughed at you. But you know, fast forward 9 years into my call here at Light of Life, I realized that everyone who comes to us is somebody's sister, somebody's brother, somebody's father, somebody's mother. And for me, that's why I wake up and go to work every day. You know, my position really has, I don't want to say it has nothing to do with it, but I show up every day because I know that we're impacting people like my sister. And we didn't get the win we wanted with my sister. And sometimes we don't always get the wins we want with the people we serve. But there are times where we do get the wins we want and we get the testimonies. And to be honest with you, even my sister's a win, right? Because she rededicated her life to Christ. So I can't even say that wasn't a win. But in the natural, when we see those graduations and see alumni that have been clean and living life well for 20 plus years, for me, that's why I show up and raise money every day. And so that's kind of my background. Light of Life is very personal to me. And the fundraising stuff, a year after the volunteer coordinator, they just said, you're not great with details, but you're great with people.
Mm-hmm.
You ready to go? Yeah!
we something happened here. We'll just bear with it. He'll be back. This happens. This is the call dropped. It's the first time it's happened in a couple of weeks. Not a big deal. He'll call back. But quite a moving story. And when he comes back, I wasn't going to ask Doug directly about his sister. But I really appreciate him sharing. And he'll come on back here in a minute. When I did the show 3 or 4 years ago, this used to happen pretty regularly. Cell phone is a lot better than it used to be. So there he is. He's back. So let me bring him back on. There you are. So we were treading water until you came back. Now we can swim again. I was saying how much I appreciate you sharing your sister's story. I wasn't going to ask you about that. That's your story to share. But you were just saying it really was a win because you got her life on an eternal good track, even though the present situation she just, for whatever reason, could not overcome. So thank you for sharing that, and our condolences Sure. to you. And so tell us a little bit about your family now.
Yeah, so my immediate family, I'm married to my high school sweetheart, which that in and of itself is a miracle. It took me 10 years to become the man I needed to marry my wife, and we've been married now for going on 8 years and have two beautiful baby girls, and that's my family life. It's very fulfilling, and we're hoping to continue to grow our family here in 2020.
Yeah, your family is beautiful. I mean, your kids are just picture perfect, and they are when I see them on social media. But, you know, as I said earlier, I mean, you're obviously passionate, very involved with Light of Life, and it is personal for you based on the story you told us about your sister. But then someplace along the way, you know, and I even need a refresher to remember that you got really passionate about leadership and leadership issues and concepts, and now you have this L3 Leadership Network. But just talk to us about how that happened, and then we can go on and talk a little bit more about what L3 does and what you stand for.
Sure. I alluded to it a little bit earlier, but again, all throughout, until I was 17 years old, I literally never thought I would do anything with my life. My dad's a bus driver, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I just thought, hey, I'll just be a bus driver like my dad. And and so 17 years old, my life turns around, my mom passes away, and Christ comes into my life through a crazy circumstance. And I get around two mentors. One was my father-in-law, and one was a youth pastor. And they both essentially told me the same thing. They said, Doug, you're a leader. I want you to dream big and go for it. You can make a huge impact. You're a world changer. And it was the first time that anyone had ever affirmed me being able to do anything, let alone make a difference. And so I took to that, and they became father figures. And the youth pastor handed me a John Maxwell CD. And I never knew there was such thing as personal development. But I throw in the CD, and I listen to it. Didn't know it came with notes, and I literally transcribed the entire lesson. And I don't know how else to explain it other than I felt like I was Neo in the Matrix. And I called the youth pastor and said, just give me everything you got. And so I would say that was the beginning of my leadership journey. And that youth pastor would bring in leaders from the community. And he would say, hey, he would have them share leadership and personal growth stuff with us. And he would say, hey, if you were impacted by one of those leaders, you should ask them out to coffee and ask them questions. And he gave us this process. And so I just started doing that literally every month. And I did that for about 10 years, just meeting with leaders. I've always, since that John Maxwell CD, I've always had an appetite to grow. And about 10 years in, people started saying, wow, Doug, you get to spend time with leaders like John Stanko. I wish I could. And I said, well, have you ever asked? And 90% of people never ask. And so I just thought it was an opportunity. And that's really how I started the L3 Leadership Podcast. And we're 250 episodes in now, which is crazy to me. But yeah, that was kind of the beginning.
250. Wow.
250. Well, yeah, I have a long way to go to catch up to you. But you're an inspiration. If I'm still going strong at 70 and making a difference, man, you are an inspiration and a content machine. And, you know, I know you said some people don't want any, you know, want to get away. I can't get enough. So thank you for everything you put out
there. I'm honored. Well, thank you. Yeah, and we met someplace early on in that. You got to me. I was at Allegheny Center Alliance Church, and I think we met over at Crazy Mocha or something. And, boy, it was just an instant connection. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you've had a huge impact in my life, and I feel like I'm actually just learning what you told me, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. My takeaway from our conversation together, and again, I'd never really heard anyone teach purpose like you do, and I want to say that 90% of our conversation was you just calling me out every time you sensed fear, which was pretty much every 3 seconds, and and really, you've been instrumental in a constant voice of courage along the way, and I know that's your calling. Actually, you put in one of your posts recently, like, every church needs a purpose pastor, and I was just like, man, is that true? Like, every church needs a John Stanko. I absolutely agree with that. But you just told me, man, just go for it. Who cares? Just fear, get over your fear and just go for it. And I would say for a long time, and really probably till this past January, I've really struggled with insecurities and fear around a lot of things. I've certainly grown, but I feel like it's taken me a 5-year journey to get to a place where it's like, I do have something to say. I'm confident, and it's not confidence in myself, but confidence in what God put in me. And I guess I just want to say thank you, because you've been a consistent voice that's just helped me overcome those obstacles. So thank you.
Well, the Chinese say when the student is ready, the teacher appears. So however I was able to serve you was a real honor, but it has been mutual. You know, the one thing about transformational leadership is that it should operate both ways. Otherwise, it's, you know, it's condescending and here's what I can give you, but you have nothing to give me, and that's certainly not the case. What have you learned from interviewing people, not just about leadership, but just about interviewing? Because you've talked to Mike Tomlin, you've talked to Mike Sullivan. You know, I'm always seeing you with some significant, because you aren't afraid to ask them, and most leaders of that caliber are willing, if they have the time, to give it and share. You know, what have you learned about when interviewing? And then we'll talk about what you learned about leadership.
Yeah, I could talk about this all day, too. Yes, you have to ask. That's number one. And just like you were saying, you'd be shocked at who you could get a meeting with if you'll just be intentional. But I would tell you, if people are interested in this, just realize that every day you're either building credibility or losing credibility, and people are watching you when you don't even know it. And oftentimes it's going to be the credibility you've built with others that gets you in the room with people you never thought you could get a meeting with. I had lunch with John Maxwell in January, never thought it would happen. Took me 17 years. But it was due to the credibility and who God used to make that happen was the greatest joy of my life. It was my pastor, John Nuzzo in Cranberry, but I would have never gotten that meeting had I not been building credibility for 17 years with a leader.
Right.
And so I would just throw that out there. But on the art of interviewing, it is a skill set that you have to grow in. I think some people think it's just this natural thing, like, oh, I can just wing it. I've learned, I would just say probably the most impactful thing I've heard. And for me, there was this huge insecurity for years when I would get around leaders. And the reality was because I thought I was less than them.
Right.
And I was interviewing a guy that's a world-class interviewer, Ken Coleman. And there's two leaders. I interviewed two leaders. The first one was Matt Keller. And I said, hey, make me better at interviewing. And he said, Doug, you have so many questions and you're so insecure and ready to get to the next question. that sometimes it doesn't even sound like you're listening to your guest.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a slap in the face. But that's when I started realizing, okay, there's something there. There's a root there that I'm missing. Why is that? And I asked Ken Pullman, who interviews people for a living, for feedback. And I said, Ken, help me. I'm insecure. I'm always going to the next question. And he's like, well, what are you afraid of? And he's like, and he just started digging into me. And actually, you can listen to this conversation on my interview with him. But at the end of the day, he said, you're not afraid of what the audience is going to think because you can edit things out. He's like, you think you're less than the people you're interviewing and you think they're a bigger deal than you and you don't think you're worthy of being in their presence.
Mm-hmm.
And man, it just did a switch in my heart and gave me confidence that they're no different than me. And I love what my pastor John Nuzzo says. He said, there's no great men or women of God. There's just a great God. And when you see things through that perspective, it just changed my attitude and countenance. And I no longer was this timid, shy, like, oh, I can't believe they're giving me time. I hope they like me. It's just, hey, I just want to have a conversation and learn. So I don't know if that's helpful, but that's been the biggest game changer for interviewing me.
No, that's tremendous. You know, and you can attest, I don't do any prep time with the people I interview. And, of course, you and I have a relationship, so I know, you know, some of your world. But even if it was the first time, I don't do that. When I overcame my fear, I trust that the interview will emerge. And I just have to be a good listener.
Wow.
I don't have to formulate my next question. I just have to be a good listener. And if I'm a good listener, the next question will emerge. And my goal is always at the end of the interview for the person. And I used to hear this a lot when I did my show on WPIT. People say, oh, that time went so fast. And I would say, I did my job. You know, I cleared the space for them to talk. And I don't even like to, when you called in early, I don't like to ask any questions because then sometimes the tendency to say, well, we were talking earlier. And the listener says, we weren't talking earlier. I just tuned in. And so I just want it to be fresh, and it is. And, of course, a guy like you, you're like a toothpaste tube. I just have to squeeze you. And good stuff is going to come out because like you said, you've prepared yourself. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Doug Smith. You can access those interviews that he was talking about, I'm assuming all 250, on DougSmithLive.com. It's on the show description. You can go click on that. And he really is an excellent interviewer, and he draws things out of the people he's interviewing. And that's for our benefit, not just for his. And Now let's talk leadership. You know, this, you've been at it 17 years, and of course I've got pencils older than you. You know, so you're still you're still learning and growing. No, I'm just teasing. Well, you what have you learned? Tell me some of the outstanding leadership lessons that come to mind.
Yep. Well, so I took on this role as director of development almost 2 years ago, and about 6 months into it, I said, I don't know anything about leadership. I feel like I'm in preschool. And I was humbled. And the reality is, I think I'm just learning that you'll never arrive as a leader. And just when you think you do, God will give you a new adventure. And you realize that you have a whole new skill set to learn. And so, to be honest with you, I'm learning that leadership is painful. Something that's been ministering to me in the last year is John Maxwell consistently says, he said, if you're a leader, there will never be two easy consecutive days in your life. And I guess I wasn't ready for that because I started having all these hard days and these hard things happen. And I think I had to learn to grow through that. And just dealing with the reality of not getting into leadership because you have influence or you have all these perks, because the reality is you don't. I feel like you have less rights when you're a leader. You know, I like to say that leadership's losing the right to think about yourself. And so for me, probably the biggest thing I've had to learn in my leadership journey over the past year and a half was actually something that John spoke to me during our lunch. I'm a people pleaser by nature. And so when people get close to me, like the team that I lead, I want to be liked and I want to be loved, and I care a lot about that. And in fact, I care too much about that. Mm-hmm. And I was meeting with John and I said, you know, how can I grow through this? And he said, He said, Doug, first of all, he said, I was the same way you were. And he actually said, my CEO, Mark Kuhl, is too. And he said, I had to sit down with Mark one day and say, Mark, the good news is everybody likes you. The bad news is your leadership isn't enough to get them where they need to go to take the organization where it needs to go. And mm-hmm. and I said, okay, well, like, walk me through that journey. And he said very simply, he just said, Doug, I had to make the decision, and you're going to have to make the decision that to always love people, but to not depend on their love. And that, for whatever reason, I mean, it's scriptural, it set me free. And I just realized that I was basing my whole life in leadership and value off of whether or not someone liked me or cared for me, so much so that I wouldn't even be honest with them if I had to challenge them in something because I wanted to be liked. And so I think for me, I'm going from needing and pleasing people to actually leading them. It's a long journey for me, and an exercise, if it's helpful to your listeners, that I'm actually in the middle of doing is basically just taking a sheet in my journal and on the right side writing old Doug. And so, hey, this was old leader Doug, the person that I've grown past. And then, hey, here's new leader Doug, and here's the new things that I'm going to exhibit in this next season of leadership growth. So I'd say that's been the most significant lesson in the last 6 to 12 months.
Yeah. And you mentioned to me, you know, that you were a little ambivalent about L3 at the end of last year. And I think you took some steps that have rejuvenated your involvement and your vision. Can you tell our listeners about that?
Yeah, I'll walk them through that journey. So I guess just for context, prior to taking the director of development role, I was planning on leaving and going full-time with L3 Leadership, Light of Life. Mm-hmm. And out of nowhere, my boss at the time resigned, and I didn't want the position. And I was running one morning and felt like God spoke to me that I need to take the ball and run with it. And now looking back, I know at least one reason that was because I needed developed massively. Mm-hmm. So I took on that new role, and so I went through this whole journey of, like, I felt like I was underwater with both, and I really had to make the decision that Light of Life was going to be my priority. And so L3, as a side hustle, so to speak, was on the back burner for most of 2019. I didn't lead well. I didn't give a lot of time or energy. And we were getting ready to prepare for our second conference in December, and I had a meeting with my wife scheduled, and it was a date. We were going to go to Starbucks and dream for L3 for 2020. And I got to the coffee meeting with her, and I basically had a meltdown. I couldn't look her in the face. I looked at the ground. I almost started crying, and I just said, I quit. I don't want to do the conference. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm just done with it. Don't talk to me. And I couldn't even talk to my wife. I got up and walked back into the car. It was a 15-minute coffee meeting. And certainly Laura was upset because I'm her husband, and she just saw a spirit of defeat on me. But, man, thank God for a godly wife. The next morning, she spent time with God, and she came to me and she said, Doug, I was spending time with God this morning, and he spoke to me through the story of Peter casting back in his nets. And basically, Peter came to Jesus, and he said, listen, I've toiled all night, and we've caught nothing. And I know what I'm doing, but I'm burnt out. I have nothing left. And Jesus said, cast back in your nets. And Peter said, okay, nonetheless, at your word, I'll do it. And he cast back in the net and caught a harvest he couldn't contain. And Laura said, Doug, I know you're burnt out. I know you feel like you want to throw in the towel with L3, but I feel like God's telling us we have to throw the nets back in. And it's this time it's not going to be about your strength and your gifting and your abilities, but his. And we're going to rely on him and trust him to send the right people to help and just trust him. And so I felt like that affirmed. I felt like that was straight from God. And I said, okay, we're throwing the nets back in. God, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this is a crazy story, but sends this young leader who basically feels called to lead with us, and we hired him, and he is knocking the ball out of the court, or knocking the ball out of the park, and he's freeing me up to be the leader God called me to be and to create the content we want. And so I guess the lesson here for leaders is you may have a dream in your heart and want to throw in the towel, and I would just really challenge you to pray and get on your knees and say, God, if you gave me this dream, I'm at the end of my strength, my abilities, all of those things. And Lord, I just lay this at your feet. And Lord, I can't do it without you. And if you tell me to, Lord, at your word, I will throw back in my nets and your strength and do what you called me to do. And I promise you, leader, if you'll do that, God didn't give you a dream for no reason. He didn't give you a purpose for no reason. But if it's all about you and your strength, God will never allow you to achieve it. But if it's about him and his glory and for him, man, nothing is impossible. And so that would be my encouragement to leaders and what I'm learning through L3 today.
And that's a pretty good encouragement. And, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, you December you're ready to quit. In January you get your lunch with John Maxwell.
Oh, I had the lunch with John Maxwell. We sold out L3 one day, although we had to postpone it. 325
right.
leaders were going to be in the room.
Mm-hmm.
We launched an entire new membership platform. And literally, we've accomplished more in 3 months than we did in 3 years, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's
yeah.
that's letting God throw in the nets and his strength instead of me trying
yeah.
to do it on my own. It's amazing.
Yeah. Now, if I were writing a book, I would start with that story, and then I would go back in and tell the story of how you got to that point, because that would draw the readers in. And
interesting.
Very powerful. And I like to start with something fairly current and then go back. And then once you go back, you come up to the point of the first story you told, then you tell the rest of it, what's happened since then. And I think it would be tremendously encouraging to your readers. I think, you know, too often we wait for the story to be finished, and we like to tell people, don't write a book, be an author. Because if you write a book, you feel like you got to have everything in it that you know. You know, it's got to be the end all of the, you know, I've got to be qualified. Nah, you tell your story up to that point. You know, I'm always editing and adjusting my stuff because the story is always changing. God's always adding something to it. But I don't wait. I want to put it out there. And I always go by the proverb, I think it's 27:7, to a full man, you know, even honey is loathsome, but to a famished man, any bitter thing is sweet. And if somebody's really hungry and for what they need, it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be something
wow.
that they can consume. And so you got a story, and it's going to get better. And it's going to get worse. You know, it's as John warned you. You know, those two consecutive days. But you know, tell your story along the way. And I think it's a powerful story. I'm a big fan of yours. And again, I'm delighted you came on today. We're talking to Doug Smith. Doug is the founder and CEO of L3 Leadership, and he's also the author of an ebook, Making the Most of Mentoring. Tell our listeners about this ebook.
Yes, we were talking about interviewing earlier, and literally in the ebook, I laid out my step-by-step process for how I get meetings with leaders, what questions I ask them, and
mm-hmm.
And I'm actually going to be developing a course on this as well, and probably an updated ebook. I'm very passionate about this, and I want to give people tools to get meetings with their heroes. You know, John Maxwell is at the top of my list for 17 years, and literally, like,
mm-hmm.
Dave Ramsey's next. But outside of that, there's not too many more people that I'm like, wow, I want to meet them. And so my hope is that someone will read it and get a meeting of their dreams. And, you know, we always tell people in L3, you're one relationship away from changing your destiny. And so whether
mm-hmm.
it's a one-time once you get with a hero or an ongoing mentoring relationship that you develop through that, we want to equip you to have those relationships. Because what I found is young leaders always are looking for mentors and they don't know how to find them. And what I found is a lot of people that would be great mentors are afraid they're longing to pour their lives around, but
mm-hmm.
they don't know how to actually find someone to pour their life into. So I wanted
mm-hmm.
to bridge that gap, and that's why I wrote that email.
Yeah. Well, when I go to Kenya, you know, so the Kenyans love to have books signed, so they give me my books, but they also give me John Maxwell's books. And so I sign them, and I just sign the other John. And so I want to be the other John in your life. You know, I want to be the other John that you would want to get with. Can you speak to the current? I don't want you to be political, but what leadership issues do you think are emerging that are going to be really important for the future? What traits? What? I mean, we're in such an uncertain time. We're seeing Hebrews 12 that anything can be shaken is being shaken, so that what cannot be shaken will stand. And of course, that's the kingdom of God. But what? You know, you're an expert. You studied the leadership. What are you thinking now? What are you watching now that you're monitoring or you hope that happens? And again, I'm not talking politics. I'm talking in the area of leadership in general, attitudes that people have to have, especially in leadership as we embrace this new normal and a new future.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say something that John's been saying that I absolutely agree with. He said, in America, we've lost our way because we've lost our values. And I think there's something to that. And for me, you know, one of our values at L3 Leadership is character development. And we always say that character development is the most important development. And I think on the other side of this, I think people are going to be hungry for leaders with values and leaders that are standing on something that isn't shaky ground. And I think this crisis is revealing what people have built their life on. And you've either built your life on something that's not sustainable or the only thing that is sustainable, which is God. And so my hope is, I mean, people are hungrier now for God than they've ever been. And kind of like what you were saying in the pre-show, I feel like God's hitting a reset button. And I really feel like this is a huge opportunity for us to return to being one nation under God and really just having revival everywhere because of what God wants to do. And so for me, my hope and what I'm seeing is just that leaders will rise up. They'll care more about character development than getting a title or a fame or a platform. And that really that they'll just be leaders that make it to their finish lines. I think, so that's what I would say. Just leaders of value, leader whose principles are eternal and that have strong foundations in Christ.
Yeah, and you know, and that takes time. And I think that's why God's given some people time. You know, they have time to think. One of the reasons I like to travel so much is, you know, I get time to think. You know, I can sit on a plane and I think. So now, you know, during this season, of course, I'm staying pretty busy with publishing and writing. But in order to know your values, you got to think about them. You got to doodle. You know, you got to write some things. And no, that's not what I mean. And you got to work to clarify it and put some flesh on the bones of the skeleton of what you have. To me, that's one of the most valuable things. Of course, you have a young family. I know you're wearing about 8 hats, but do you have time to read? And if you do, what are you reading now? Anything?
Yeah, my morning routine, I always start out with, you know, I spend time with God. I'm actually, you'll enjoy this being ACAC. I'm in week 80, I think, of Mission 119 with Pastor Soper. So I don't know what you think of the program, but it's been a long one. But and then I always try to read a book. The best book I've read in the last 5 years that's impacted me is a book John Mark Comer wrote. It just came out recently. It's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And it's actually a Dallas Willard quote is the title of the book. And basically it's just about pushing pause. And it's actually funny. I feel like God was dealing with a lot of people in the body of Christ about this before all of this happened. You know, for me, I'm nonstop. I wear a lot of hats, like you said. And this book really, I had never taken the Sabbath seriously. I never did a digital detox, and those two things were probably the biggest things that I've implemented as a leader through that book was, man, Laura and I try to take 1 day a week where we just spend time with God, have fun, don't try to solve any problems, enjoy our kids, enjoy our family, and that's been awesome. And then the digital detox was huge. There's an app called In the Moment that I got out of that book, and I ended up cutting my phone time in half and the amount of phone pickups I have. You know, you want to talk about a humbling statistic, how many times you pick up your phone a day, those dopamine hits that you need. And so I would say, yeah, that's the best book I've read in the last 5 years, and I read them in the morning.
Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, a digital detox. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, give us some as much information as you would want to give of how people can latch on to L3 and Doug Smith.
Yeah, the only thing I would tell you not the digital detox from is John Stanko and L3 Leadership content. I mean,
there
that,
we go.
Anyway.
Now you're talking. Now you're talking. That's right.
But,
these people are reading too much stuff, except mine.
Yeah, that's right. I'm just teasing. But yeah, I mean, L3 Leadership is probably the best place for you to go there, all the resources, et cetera. You'll find Doug Smith Live stuff, and you'll find all the social links. So Doug Smith Live is my tag, but that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, do you think we're going to play baseball this year?
I don't know. I was just talking to someone today about football season, so I don't even know if we'll have that. So it's crazy. What do you think?
I don't. I don't think we will.
Yeah.
I just there's too much uncertainty and too much liability. You know, you gear up, and then things, you know, I got sick, and you know, you didn't clean the restrooms, and I think it's gonna be very difficult. I mean, the last night in Post Gazette, the Chancellor of Pitt said it's not likely that they will resume in the fall. And
I've been hearing similar things.
Yeah, so I don't think, and I think the NFL is really trying to push their way through this, and I don't think they're going to be successful. I think even if they start it, I don't know. I mean, I went to the store today, and I mean, people are so conditioned that they don't want to get near you. They don't want you to perceive that you think they're getting near you. I just don't think we're going to wave a wand or snap our fingers and that's going to end. And I think people who are older are going to be, you know, much more cautious about going to crowds. I've been saying for a dozen years, we needed to change the way we do church, our delivery systems, how we use social media. And I'm watching this very carefully. I think people, we can do this until we get back to the usual, to the normal, and I'm sensing there's going to be a new normal, and those people who are skating to where the puck will be, not to where it is, are going to be successful. And that's why I think writing and social media and putting what we have in as many media as possible is the way to go. And I think you're doing that, and as your kids grow, you'll have more time and more lessons to share, and it'll be you'll just be all over the place, and I'll be an old man in some home and fight, you know, with COVID-19 stay away banners all around me. Anyway, Doug, any final words for our listeners of what words of wisdom for leadership or for personal productivity or effectiveness? Anything else to say?
No, I guess I would just piggyback on your message of go live your purpose. What are you waiting for? Go make something happen. Stop being afraid. Stop living out of fear. Literally, you could waste your entire life with everything you think could happen or what you're afraid of. And, I haven't listened. It took me 5 years to get to a place where I feel comfortable saying I learned and actually implemented something you taught me at that original coffee. But, hey, just go live your purpose. It's what God called you to do. He'll equip you, but just do it in His strength and not your own.
Yeah, indeed. Well put. Well said. You're a great communicator. Give my love to Lauren and the children, and keep up the good work. And just remember the other John when you come into your kingdom.
John, you're amazing. I love you. You've impacted my life greatly. Can't imagine my life, what it would be like without your input. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Take care. God bless. All right, Doug Smith, a great young leader. He's just very dynamic. I really had to be on my toes there because he talks fast. I mean, he had a lot of content. And so, I'm looking at about the 30-minute mark thinking, are we – and I've had that feeling before on interviews, am I going to make it? Are we going to have enough? But it always works. And that's where you have to deal with your fear, even on a moment by moment basis. Again, I want to remind you the ministry app is go to any of your platforms, and it is Purpose Quest International. Download it, and John Stanka will be at your fingertips. And as Doug said, stop watching and listening to everything else and listen to us. No, but if it can help you, I think it can. I want to commend that to you. Also, the fundraiser I have going for my birthday week and my birthday weekend, and the title of it is I Want Underwear for My Birthday. This is really a fundraiser for the work that I'm doing in Kenya, and people have been so generous. And even just in the first 5 or 6 hours, we raised $350 or so, and thank you, thank you, thank you. No boastful promises if you give, but if you do give, you will be giving to the poor. People who cannot repay you, can't even say thank you to you, and that's a good position to be in, because then God takes care of the thanks and the appreciation. Enjoy your weekend. As Doug said, be about the work of purpose in your life. That's what this show is about. Follow Doug's model. Face your fears and find some way to express the purpose that God has given for you. So this is John Stanko signing off for the weekend. We'll be back on Monday with Pastor Mel Massengale from the Summer Church up in Indiana, PA. Got some other great guests lined up for next week. So we're going to continue the momentum of Blog Talk Radio. Listen to another interview over the weekend. Until we're together again, John Stanko signing off. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me.
Thanks again for listening to Wake Up to Purpose with John Stanko. To get in touch with John, you can go to www.purposequest.com or write him at johnstanko@gmail.com.